Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to be here and to serve you. And Lord, I pray you bless everything that's said and done here, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you that there is a soon coming Middle East peace agreement. Things are rapidly moving in Israel, and I believe that it'll be a soon coming Middle East peace agreement. There are a lot of things happening in the Middle East right now that lead me to believe that there is the possibility of a war coming. There could be the fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 17, which talks about Damascus. And if you have the time, not tonight, but if you have the time, read Isaiah 17, you'll see that Damascus, Syria, will be destroyed overnight. My feeling is perhaps something will happen. You see what's going on in Syria right now. Something might happen. They may decide that they're pushed into a corner, unleash some biological weapons against Israel. Israel comes in with the nuclear bombs. They've already flown over Damascus with nuclear bombs on their wingtips to show their force. And it could be that this prophecy in Isaiah 17 will be fulfilled very soon. The United Nations has been expected to declare Palestine to be a state in September. It's no telling what's going to happen. But I can tell you that there is a soon coming Middle East peace agreement. Jerusalem means the city of peace. But the history of Jerusalem is one of war and destruction. The sounds of war and arms have been heard in Jerusalem for 3,000 years. From the time of David until now, Jerusalem's been besieged nearly 50 times and has been partially destroyed over 32 times. It's been burned to the ground 5 times, but it's always risen from the ashes. It's been the scene of 6 wars since its independence in 1948, and today it's the site of the most volatile political, military, and religious problems on the face of the earth. The Jews' desire for peace begins with a promise of peace given to them by Moses. Leviticus 26:6 says, "And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land." The Jews were taught to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're taught. Psalm 122, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces." Psalm 128, 6 says, "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." Psalm 147, verse 14, "He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth with the finest of the wheat." And since the dispersion, the Jews have longed for peace, and yet none has come. You'll remember the Crusades. You may not know much about that, but that was the invaders coming from Rome, coming to the Middle East to reclaim the Holy Land. As they went, they rode on their horses with swords in their hands, and their battle cry was, "Kill the Jews! God wills it." You'll remember Hitler's Holocaust. You've heard about it. 6 million Jews killed, almost annihilated by a madman. I've seen it. They can deny that it ever happened, but it happened. 1948, the beginning of the nation of Israel. Immediately on that day in 1948 in May, countries all around Israel attacked them. And by the miraculous hand of God, he delivered them. The stories of deliverance are unbelievable. Here comes an Egyptian tank column, tanks, coming towards Israel to defeat it. 2 men, the only air force they had, 2 men in a borrowed plane, dropped a Molotov cocktail out of the airplane, hit the lead tank, and the entire Egyptian army turned around and went back. Unbelievable stories. 1967, Six-Day War. 1973, the Yom Kippur War. Again, the hand of God upon the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Even today, they're still surrounded with trouble. Oh, we hear about the deliverance of Egypt. The man is gone. The president's gone. Egypt is free. Yeah, but what we haven't heard is that the Muslim Brotherhood have come in and radical Islamics are now taking over and have already beginning to sign agreements forbidding things and breaking the peace treaty with Israel. I wouldn't be so sure about these rebels in Libya either while I'm at it. There's a lot of danger. There's a lot of Muslim danger. God's permitting it because this is all part of the end times. The key verse should be Jeremiah 8:15, and we look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. You see, the Jews passed up the first peace treaty. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The peace agreement that was offered to Israel to come to a mediating peace with the children of Israel, with the Jews, was rejected. All part of God's sovereign plan. According to Romans chapter 11, because the Jews rejected Jesus, the Gentiles were grafted in to the branch. The true Messiah, the only one who could deliver peace to the Jewish nation, came, lived, and was crucified so that every man, Jew, every Gentile could have peace that passes all understanding. John 1:11, he came unto his own received him not. Man cannot have peace with man until he first has peace with God. It'll never happen. Today, the Jews reject Jesus for the most part. Thank God some are being saved. You want to know firsthand from someone who can tell you what God is doing among the Jews, I'm here to tell you God is saving thousands of Jewish people. More Jewish people have been saved in the last 19 years than have been saved in the last 1900 years. The world wants to force a peace treaty on them. Over and over, attempts have been made for Israel to make peace with its Arab neighbors. So far, all of them have failed. The condition for peace for Israel is what? Give up your land. I've never heard that kind of an agreement made with anybody else but Israel. You want to have peace? Give up your land. But I'm going to tell you something. They're going to have a peace treaty. There's going to be a peace treaty. A recent article gives the true motivation for Israel peace. I cut it out of Israel Today magazine. What it says is, Palestinians' peace process should erase Israel. This is what they're writing. Palestinians conducted a public opinion poll, shows the same results as before. The Palestinians support the peace process only if it ultimately results in Israel's eradication. That's what they want. They want Israel gone into the Mediterranean Sea. We've already heard these nations have tried to force the Jews to have peace. You know what happens? They have a curse on them. Every time a hurricane or a tornado or some major catastrophe happens in America, I ask the question, what are we doing to Israel now? What's happening to Israel? They're getting ready to declare Palestine to be a nation. There's a big hurricane out in the Atlantic right now, already a Category 2, has 12 days away from here. Where is it going to hit? The Jews were forced to leave Gaza, and you remember the Jews that lived in Gush Katif, little Israeli village. You remember on television them crying and screaming and saying, no, don't make us leave our homes, don't make us leave our homes. While we were helping them leave their homes, there was a little hurricane forming in the Atlantic Ocean that ultimately came in that same week and destroyed New Orleans called Katrina. I don't even have the time tonight to tell you all the things that have happened because America's intervention in the land of Israel. We better stay with the nation of Israel. We better support Israel. I'm afraid our current administration is not going that direction. I'm concerned about that because that'll put a curse on us. Here's the headline for tonight. The Jews will soon sign a major peace treaty. No, it won't be with the Palestinians, but with a world dictator called the Antichrist. First, the Bible makes it very clear there's going to be the rapture. The catching up of all believers in Jesus Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and we're going to be with the Lord in the air. That could happen any moment, and I'm ready for it. Then the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, according to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel 9, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That 1 week is very clearly an indication of 7 years. You remember Jacob? He served 7 years for his wife. He got the wrong one first. And then his father-in-law said, well, serve me another week. What do you mean? 7 more years. So 7 years, the covenant. Just who is this Antichrist? Well, the word means someone who opposes or takes the place of the true Messiah. When the church is raptured, the Bible indicates that the Jews will sign a peace treaty and start the countdown to Armageddon and introduce a new world leader who will become world dictator. He's going to deceive the Jews into thinking that he is their Messiah, that they finally found their Messiah. They'll believe they found him. Many people believe the Antichrist to be all kinds of different things. I want to tell you what I believe tonight. Of course, you may disagree with me, but I think I have scripture to back it up. I truly believe the Antichrist will be a Jew. I've heard it say, you know, he's going to be from the Roman Emperor. He's going to be from Greece. He's going to be here. But let me tell you, here's what Ezekiel 21:25 says. It says, it calls him the profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. I'll tell you something, you can't be the wicked prince of Israel if you're not Jewish. Now, he may be someone who lives in Israel, but I truly believe that in order for the Jews to accept him as their Messiah, he's got to be a Jew. He'll imitate the real Jewish Messiah. Listen to this. Christ was a man, the man Christ Jesus. Antichrist will be that man of sin. Christ did miracles, as we read, approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Acts 22, verse 22, or 2:22 says, so the Antichrist whose comings is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Christ is called the morning star. In Revelation 22, the Antichrist is called the same thing in Isaiah chapter 14. Christ rose from the dead, so will the Antichrist. One is called the seed of the woman, the other is called the seed of the serpent. Jesus is called the Christ, the other is called the Antichrist. The followers of Jesus will be sealed in their foreheads, Revelation 7:3, so will the followers of the beast, according to Revelation 13. One's called the Holy One, the other the Wicked One. One's called the Glorious Branch, the other is called the Abominable Branch. Christ was rejected by men. The Antichrist will be accepted by men. Jesus was received up in heaven. Antichrist will be cast down, thank the Lord, in the lake of fire. But what's going to happen? First, a peace treaty, 3.5 years long. According to the scriptures, the Jews will accept the Antichrist as the Messiah. He will sign a peace treaty with them that will bring in the peace that they've longed for so long. And for 3.5 years, they will believe they have finally found their Messiah. You ask them today in Israel, and I made a video. I'll have to show it to you sometime, but I made a video where I went around in Israel asking people, what do you think needs to happen here in Israel for there to be peace? I mean, over and over and over, the people I talked to, they said, we've got to have, now I don't know if they knew the Bible, they probably didn't, but they said, we need a strong leader to come in here and have there to be peace. Oh, how prophetic that was. They said, we're waiting for someone to lead us into peace. 3.5 years, there'll be a covenant of peace with the Antichrist. But at the end of 3.5 years, the Bible makes it clear that he will do something to break that peace. Kind of makes it indicated he's going to take and sacrifice again a pig in the temple, rebuilt temple. Then he will turn on the Jews and the world with a vengeance. The Bible says people will beg, will literally beg to die and won't be able to. They'll wish they could die. It can't happen. The judgments are poured out upon this earth. Unbelievable things will occur. Things that we think we see something every day. I read the news. I think I've seen the worst things in the world every day. I read the paper the next day. Something worse. Unbelievable. Humanity is getting to the place where it's unbelievable. I just can't believe the things that people are doing. Killing people. How they're killing people. I won't gross you out with some of the things I've read. You've read them already. Unbelievable what's going on. But yet they'll be worse during the tribulation period. Chances are, and I can't emphatically say this, but I have preached this and I sort of believe it. Although I believe God extends grace, I almost believe the chances are that those that have heard the gospel of Christ will not be saved during the tribulation period. The Bible says they'll believe a lie. They'll be deluded. Their minds will be deluded, deceived, and they'll believe a lie. If you're here tonight, that's a wonderful church, and you are wonderful people. But if you're here tonight, and in your heart, you know that you're not sure, 100%, that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. If the rapture took place tonight, and I wish it would, you would be left behind and go through this 7-year period of time, the tribulation period. You might not be saved, and if you're not saved, you will go to an eternal hell forever and ever and ever and ever. If you say that's what I want, you're a fool. God has already made some wonderful promises to all of us that whosoever believeth on the name, calleth upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Oh, what a wonderful day it was. When I was 27 years old, I attended church for the first time in my life. I was a rock and roll disc jockey. You may remember my testimony. I walked in that church that Sunday morning, rock and roll disc jockey, big afro. I'm a Jufro, a big Jufro. I mean, I looked like the wild man of Borneo. Sat down in the back there, and people looked at me like, what in the world just walked in this church? I'd never been in a Baptist church. I'd never been in any church. With my wife, never been in a Baptist church. And I heard the message, and the Holy Spirit of God smote my heart. I thought I was having a heart attack. I looked over at my wife. I didn't know there was such thing as church polity or church etiquette. And I said out loud, rather loud, go down there with me. I'm not going down there. I don't know anybody. I've never been in a Baptist church before. Come on, go with me. And I didn't know you weren't supposed to argue in church. Pastor told me later he thought I was coming down to beat him up. But I stepped out and went forward in that service, and I said to the pastor, I want to be saved. I've never done it before. I realized for the first time that the Messiah of the Old Testament was the Jesus of the New Testament. Now, you may be here and you've heard the message. I could not imagine being in this church you haven't heard a gospel message unless you're here visiting for the first time. But if that's your case tonight, I want to tell you, unless you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, you don't know what the world is going to bring. You don't know what your life is going to bring. People's lives are cut short all the time. You'd be left behind. Those that have rejected Christ will be left behind. Millions, the Bible says, millions will die during the time of Jacob's trouble. According to the scriptures, 2/3 of all the people on the face of the earth during the 7-year tribulation period will die. I have two sisters. I don't know if they're saved. There's three of us, three kids in our family. Me, my two sisters. Two-thirds, if they go in the tribulation period, the chances are, number one, without Christ, they probably won't be saved. Number two, they'll probably be dead and go to the lake of fire. Now, tonight, don't take that chance. Swallow your pride. Now, I preach in Baptist churches across America, and I give this same message, and Brother Lassie, Brother Jane, they give the same message. You know, what usually happens is when the invitation comes, people sit there like stones. When they're sitting there in their pew, they know, I need to be saved. Now tonight, like I was, finally I did, by the way, after my wife and I argued a while, I did go forward. That first step, I believe, I'm going to be honest with you, I believe the first step I took out of that pew, I was saved. I was believing on Jesus. I just had to seal it with the prayer that came out of my mouth and my repentance to God and belief. Now, what can you do? Well, number one, you can be saved today. You can be saved tonight. And I would highly recommend, not knowing what the world is going to bring or your life is going to bring, that you make that decision if you're not saved tonight. You say, I'm a church member, been a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for many, many years, but I know I'm not saved. You know, there's people like that all the time. I've been in churches where the pastor told me, I just got saved. You wouldn't believe that's possible, but it is. Secondly, be a witness to other people. How many here have someone in their family that's not saved? Let me see your hand. Wow, that's about right. 9/10 of the church members. Now the question is, when did the last time you talked to them about Jesus? Oh, they get mad at me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't send them to any other hell. They're already heading there. You need to lovingly, compassionately, with tears. The Bible says, they that sow with tears shall reap with joy. Having compassion, having enthusiasm, having a desire to see them be saved. And then your neighbors, your coworkers, witness to them. Witness to them. You say, I haven't been a witness. I've never shared the gospel with anybody. Well, maybe tonight you need to say, Lord, like they did in the early church, give me boldness. Give me boldness. The Bible says the early church, they prayed for boldness. Two verses later, they were filled with boldness. Maybe you need to come and just say, Lord, I haven't been a witness to anybody. I need to do it. And of course, my job and our job all together is to reach people around the world. That's why this missions conference is coming up. Should not only be a blessing to see missionaries, but also so burden your heart, ladies and gentlemen, to make decisions to surrender, to be missionaries yourself. Whether it's here in your Jerusalem or to somewhere else, God needs people. Oh, God doesn't need me. Yes, He does. God needs people to do the work. Reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, what is it in your heart? What's God spoken to you about? What has He told you you should do? Be saved? Witness? Maybe surrender to full-time Christian service? Maybe just a surrender to work in this church as a laborer, as a servant? Obey God tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You for this night. Lord, You know the hearts of every person in this room. There is not a person here that You don't know. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're feeling. You know what they need. And so, Lord, I know You will reveal to them Your will, Your desire. And Holy Spirit, I pray if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, that the Holy Spirit will draw and convict in such a way that they'll have no other choice but to make that decision. And for some other reason, for witnessing, for service. May people obey You, and we'll thank You for what You're going to do in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Pastor, you come.
Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly here. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. You never want to be a church that takes for granted somebody's salvation. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about your eternal soul. Maybe God's burdening your heart about your neighbor, your family member, your relative, your co-worker. I don't know what it is, but if God's speaking to you, feel free to stand up and come to this altar. Talk to the Lord about it. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we ought to do. If He speaks to our heart, that's what we ought to do. It's a privilege when God speaks. There's time for you if you'd like to come. Maybe some of you want to come and say, God, put the amount on my heart and on our family's heart for this missions conference. Whatever you want us to do and tell us to do, that's what we'll do. Maybe some of you want to come and talk to the Lord about that. Feel free to do it as we sing together. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily. Through softly here. I'd like Brother Steve to make his way up here. It always humbles me, and I trust it humbles you, when you get around a faithful missionary that's plowing and plowing and plowing and plowing. It's exciting that we had an open door to help him with this Cuba outreach. Just before the service tonight, I found out he's going to Brazil, and he spoke about that tonight. Do the same thing. And I asked him how he's doing financially with that trip. And he basically said, okay. I got out of him that they need $1,500 for this trip. I think you know what your pastor's thinking, don't you? The money's there, folks. And I don't know about you, but I want that money to get out and about to help reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we located some deacons tonight. If we didn't come to you, I didn't see you, because I went to everyone that I saw, or somebody did. And everybody's in agreement with this. And so I'm going to ask Brother Steve to come. He's going to make a recommendation. I guess I'm making it, but I'm going to have him come and seal it here, that we take care of this $1,500. And they're leaving Monday, I believe it is. Am I right by saying that? You're leaving Monday. And our church, I feel, I want part of it myself. And I believe you feel the same way about it, don't you? I hope you do. So, Brother Steve, let's come, and you just officially make it, whatever you call it.
Okay.
A motion.
A motion.
Make it a motion.
Okay. The deacons here tonight and Pastor Jody has come together and talked about this, and we would like to make this as a motion to give Brother Henry and his wife $1,500 for this trip to Brazil, and we can get in on all those souls that's going to be saved. And I make that a motion and look for a second.
Amen. Can we get a second on that? Brother Cash, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Anybody opposed, same sign. Shame on you if you do, right? No doubt about that. Sir, it's yours. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. I mean, aren't you glad that we can do things like this? And preacher, God bless you, sir. You've trained me well in not tying all the money up in missionaries, but have some available to help with projects like this. And it's there, and I like that. And this last one, over 600 professions of faith. We got a hand in that, folks. And who knows what's going to happen in Brazil. But if he goes down there and has one, that's worth every dime of it. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Bennick and your precious wife, if you wouldn't mind to go out in the lobby. I'm sure our folks will want to greet you and meet you there. And that'll be a great thing. Some of you are visiting with us. God bless you. If you're around somebody that you don't recognize, don't be ashamed about that. Just go introduce yourself to them, and that'll be good. All right? I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come up here, and he's going to dismiss us in prayer. Let's go ahead and dismiss our bus captains and all those who are in the bus meeting. You go ahead and be dismissed at this time. And please go by and shake Brother and Mrs. Bennick's hand and let them know that they're a blessing. It's our privilege to support them.
I appreciate y'all, and y'all have been a blessing to me. I just want to say that from the pulpit, and I appreciate y'all and everything the Lord's done through you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. God, I pray that you would bless this church family, Lord, and encourage them, Lord. And thank you for challenging us tonight with your word. I pray that you would help us to go out and do great things for you. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless this church family, bless Pastor Jody, God, and use this church to further your kingdom around the world. I pray you bless us and keep us safe on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen.